I was ready to get out, kind of conquer the world, go explore, see some new sites. So any job posting that came up that was had adventure and traveling, I was sold. So, you know, I was ready to get out of school. You never know how it's going to go for you, but I had kind of a stroke of good luck. I was able to get up to Alaska, work on the fishing boats as a biological observer. I was able to get down to the Turks and Caicos Islands and work as a conch farmer. So I had some good wins right out of the gate. The problem with these jobs, they last about 6 months, 12 months. So the second you get the job, you're quickly looking for the next job. So it's always a little bit stressful. And of course, you have those blips in life. And I had my blip in life where I find myself back in my parents' basement living. And so every, you know, maybe around 10, I kind of walk up the stairs and open the door. My mom would have the newspaper open for me. And she would take a highlighter and she would highlight the jobs that she thought I would be interested in. And let me tell you, I was not interested in these jobs. Nothing can crush your ego and deter girlfriends like living in your parents' basement. So parents, if you're out there and you're having a failure to launch, I recommend kick them in the basement. And bring jobs to them that they have no interest in. They would be out the door as fast as they can. So I had a little bit of luck. I finally found a job, and it was banding birds from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And so, you know, we have this connotation of, you know, Guantanamo Bay now, but this was right before 9/11. So there was not that connotation. So I was excited. I'm like, I'm going to Guantanamo Bay, going to Cuba to band birds. So fly in there, and it's absolutely a beautiful place. It's what you'd imagine. Blue waters, green plants, and just vibrant. So it was a cool job. You know, I'd have to go out every day, get up very early at dawn, raise the nets up, and there's these mist nets. And how they work is they're real fine, almost like spider webs. The birds can't see them. They fly in. You untangle them. You put a band on their leg. And this is basic information you can gather as a biologist. So you can release them, they get recaptured elsewhere. You know how long they live, where they go to. So really, really fun job for me. At Guantanamo Bay, there's not a lot going on. It's pretty boring during this time. So a lot of the folks would want to come out and band birds with me. So it was a fun time where I started to get my group of friends down there. They would call me the Birdman. So you had the Birdman at Alcatraz, I was the Birdman at Guantanamo Bay. Seriously, I don't think any of them knew my name. That was what I was probably still calling me this to this day. So I kind of talked to them, and not only was the bird life amazing, there's some neat animals out there. Guantanamo Bay is all, as you guys know, it's like, you know, kind of all fenced off. So animals that have been decimated in other parts of Cuba, they have, you know, their abundance of, and there's one called the banana rat. It's like a massive, giant-looking rat, but cuter. they've been eaten all over Cuba, but they were in the thousands down here, almost like an epidemic. So not only was it beautiful above ground, but below water was absolutely spectacular, too. So I corralled the group of five or six servicemen and women. I said, let's go do a night snorkel. Let's go out and just kind of, you know, bring our lamps and get underwater and see what we see. So we drive to the far part of the island. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. We jump in. It's right at dusk. The night becomes really black, and we're out further than we should be. And so at some point we see there's a light turns on by where the car is, and it's casting this white glow over this dark water, and that's attracting massive schools of little fish. So this is great and fun and all, but as we're, you know, I'm kind of in my own world. I got my head, my flashlight, and I'm looking at the octopus and squid and coral polyps opening up, and all of a sudden I hear screaming, blood-curdling scream, and I'm like, you know, anyone who's been underwater at night knows that fear of like, oh God, what's going on? I'm thinking shark. So I rush over, and my friend, she said, I'm like, what's going on? She goes, I got stung by a jellyfish. And I was thinking, okay, a little bit of an overreaction. I'm kind of being judgy, you know. All of a sudden on my back, my bare back, I feel like someone took a branding iron and pushed it on my back. And now I'm screaming. As loud as she is, and so some humble pie there. And so I look under the water, under that glow of the light, and I can see there's thousands of fish, and there's a whole bunch of box jellyfish. And so these aren't the ones, like, not as bad as Australia where they kill you like that, but these are not good. I know they're not good. So we have a couple choices. It's like we have missed our exit to get back to the beach. There's no clear path. So some of them, they panic. It is charge, run through the minefield, they're swimming, they're just getting stung left and right, hundreds of stings. I'm taking a little bit of time, grabbing a gulp of air, and I kind of looked at it almost like an oil slick where I'm under the jellyfish and I find an opening to get up and grab a breath and get a couple stings. But once we get to shore, it's hit some people very hard. They are laying there, not able to move. We're picking them up. You know, they're having trouble breathing. We get them into the old station wagon. Now I'm ripping down the road, going for the hospital. And I can see, I adjust the head, you know, the rear view mirror. And in that rear view mirror, they're literally howling, look like howler monkeys. They're all, ooh, they're just insane. And I had to laugh at that moment. I know that sounds kind of sick, but I'm cracking up. Those banana rats I was telling you about, they're all over the road, and I'm swerving, the car's howling, and I can just imagine how we looked up. We rushed to the hospital. In that hospital, we're carrying people in, and Guantanamo Bay does not get a lot of action, so they were like, what just happened? Six people rushing out of the water. They took really good care of the people that were a lot worse off, but eventually I got to lay down on a bed, and, you know, the nurse came out, and she said, Kim, do you want a warm blanket? I said, yes. Do you want some morphine? I said, yes. Sitting there relaxed and contemplating what just went down, and I guess the message that I got was, when you miss your exit, don't panic. Slow your roll. Take a deep breath. Look for an opening and try to find another escape out of there. So.